No, ladies and gentlemen, you are not in Bangkok. You are not in Manila. You are not in Kuala Lumpur, and you are not in Singapore. You're in Laguna Beach, and it feels like I'm in Asia, though. And for the first time in almost 50, I've been preaching for almost 50 years, for the first time, I've got a handkerchief. But I'm not going to prance too much like they do on TV, but I got a handkerchief. All right, well, this morning we are going to conclude our summer series in the study of the Psalms. And we are going to finish our study with a look at the very last psalm, Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is the climax of a number of preceding psalms, all of whom are calling us in a strong exhortation and encouragement to not just give praise to God, but to give high praise to God, to give resounding praise to God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 150, and then I'm going to read a couple of verses from those preceding psalms like I just mentioned to give us a foundation for our teaching. Like, this subject of praise is something that we could do an all-day seminar on or all-weekend seminar on. It's that amazing a subject. But let's turn back a page. So if you have your pew Bible, it's page 526, Psalm 150. But we're going to look at Psalm 145, and then we're going to just pick up a couple of verses out of each psalm, starting with Psalm 145. And I just want to give us a foundation of how the book of Psalms crescendos into this mighty call to give high praise to God. And I've got a goal this morning, and that's that when you leave here, you'll have a greater desire than you've ever had to give God praise. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do that. Psalm 145, going to look at the first two verses. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalm 147, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him from the heights, praise Him all His angels, praise Him all His host. Praise Him sun and moon, praise Him all you shining stars, praise Him you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in His maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise His name with dancing, etc., etc. And then our psalm today, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you getting a feeling for what the Holy Spirit is seeking to do as we finish through the Psalms? But it's not just these last six Psalms that I quoted. Virtually 80% of all the Psalms have an exhortation or give us this example of giving praise to God. In fact, there's this amazing verse in Psalm 22 that says, "The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. The Lord lives in the praises of His people." So that makes praise a pretty important subject, doesn't it? If we praise God and God comes in His manifest presence, wow, what a promise that is. So Psalm 150, verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty deeds. So I want to give a praise of a mighty deed that took place last weekend. Last Saturday night, a week ago Saturday night, I was speaking to an artist in town, a believer, a lady, who told me she had not sold any art for a long time. She was 3 months in back rent, and she was going to get an eviction notice on Monday. She was $9,600 in back rent. And she asked me if I would pray for her, and we prayed together. And then I kind of forgot it. And on Monday morning, I got a call from her. And she said, Pastor Jay, you won't believe what happened. I got a call from a woman last night who saw my art a year ago and loved it, but couldn't afford to buy it. But she told me her mother died and left her a sizable inheritance, and I would like to buy two of your pieces. And she named the two pieces, and the total amount for those two pieces was $17,000. But that's not the end of the story. This is how good the art is, by the way. That's not the end of the story. She said, I'm not home right now, but when I get home, I am also going to buy a painting or a piece of art for my church. And this is the title of that piece of art, and it's $13,800 was the cost for the piece for her church. So in one phone call, my friend sold over $30,000 worth of art. I say that is a mighty praise to God. Praise is no minor subject in the scriptures. From Genesis through Revelation, every chapter, every book, 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, every book has praise in it unto God. There's quiet praise, the kind of be still and know I'm the Lord kind of praise. There's a few verses about quiet praise, and we worship God inwardly, and maybe we whisper to God, Lord, I praise you. But may I say, while there are a few verses about quiet praise, there are literally thousands upon thousands of verses calling us to vocal praise, to resounding praise, to giving God all that we have. I want to give you a PowerPoint of the 7 Hebrew words describing praise, and I'll just kind of parallel it to our word love. Love has many different meanings, and praise in Hebrew has some different meanings. We say we love God. I say I love my wife, Nikki. I love my kids, but I also love baseball. I love ice cream, and I love potato chips. So there's lots of different kind of things you can do, but in Hebrew, these, and I don't have time to go over this. I'm just going to run through it kind of quickly. But the 7 Hebrew words for praise, the first one is halal. It's a primary Hebrew word for praise. Our word hallelujah comes from it. And I think some of you probably already are thinking about Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah, which is one of those cool crossover songs. I've heard it said that a secret chord David played for the Lord, it pleased him, that song. So that word, when we say hallelujah, the word literally means extreme boasting, to rave over someone, to celebrate exuberantly, and to loudly glorify. That's the meaning. It's not like, Lord, we praise you. It's, Lord, we praise you. It's praise, it's shouting unto God, it's giving him everything that you've got. That's what hallelujah means. Yada, to worship and praise in absolute surrender, just kneeling down before God with lifted hands. And I look back at one of our songs and I'd say half of the church had hands lifted up this morning. You were yadaing. I don't even think that's a word. And you were loudly proclaiming the wonder of God. You are not silently, quietly proclaiming the wonder of God. You are loudly proclaiming the wonder of God. Tauda, to declare openly and freely, a sacrifice of praise, emphasizing thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for everyone who's here this morning. Everyone who's here, I thank you for. Zamar, to give praise to the Lord with musical instruments or by heartfelt singing. That was our worship set just now that we've just concluded. That was Zamar. Shabbat, loudly giving adoration, not quietly, not timidly, loudly giving adoration, shouting, vigorous clapping, even yelling in praise of God. If you know the Hebrew people, they're shouting and clapping and dancing, and they're having a great time. Tehillah, spontaneous, high praises, lauding the Lord passionately with songs of the Spirit. Yes, in the Old Testament, they had songs of the Spirit. And then Barak, to kneel down to bless God as an act of adoration, daily, regularly, and often. These are the words of praise. Now, I don't have to teach you about praise. I don't have to explain praise to you, because all of you do it just about every single day. You praise your kids. You praise your spouse. You praise your loved one. You praise your grandkids. You praise the great athlete. You praise the latest gripping film. You praise the touted actress or actor. You praise the Olympic champion. You praise the restaurant that you eat at. And you praise your favorite rock band. How many here has a favorite rock band? You raise your hand. Do you have a favorite rock band? And if you happen to get, tickets to a concert, this is how you likely are going to act. We need your hands up! I think it's excellent to praise my kids. I think it's excellent to praise my wife. I think it's excellent to praise the Sardis where I love to go. I think it's excellent to praise a film. But I think we ought to give God far greater praise than what we just saw. And you are going to go like, oh, I couldn't do that. No way. But, like, what's the issue? Like, could we give praise to the creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the redeemer of our soul, the one who saved us, the one who blesses us 1,000 times over, who leads us and guides us and directs us and takes care of us? Could we give, like, maybe a near that amount of praise? Like, what's the problem? Like, we are so cool. We're all so cool. We don't want to, like, express any emotion because we're in church, and gosh, you know, let's just be nice, and maybe I'll raise a hand, you know, and all that. But like David or Moses, like standing on a mountain with your hands up, saying, "God, we bless you, hallelujah." But how we don't want to sing every song like blasting off, but could we like once in a while like give God like how much emotion, how much passion are in you? There's a lot more than came out this morning. There was a lot this morning. I thought it was a great worship set. But God's created us to give praise and worship to Him. And I say that God is far more worthy of receiving praise than Beyonce or the Golden State Warriors, the LA Dodgers, or U2, or any of them. I say God's far more worthy of that. Now, what's the problem? Well, here's the main problem. Main problem is a problem of sight. It's a problem of sight, of seeing. I see my grandkids. I see the movie. I went to an Angel game 2 weeks ago, and I saw the game, and I shouted when somebody hit a home run and clapped my hands and did all of that. But we don't see God like we see a celebrity, do we? Except through eyes of faith. We need to have eyes of faith to see God. That's part of the problem. God, give us eyes to see you. Remember the Michael W. Smith song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you." This is the prayer I've been praying for this church for a long time, wherever I've been in over the 50 years I've been a believer. This is the prayer I pray, Lord, open the eyes, give us a greater revelation of you. But there are some other reasons why you find it hard to give praise to God, and I'm going to put those up now. These are why praise is difficult for many of you. First, you're too self-conscious, number one. That would apply to some of you. You are embarrassed to show emotion. I call you the frozen chosen. The frozen chosen doesn't want to show any emotion. Oh, they'll show emotion for everything else in life, but not God. Number two, you're overly reserved or introverted. It's difficult and awkward to open up. Like, hang on, to get loose. Now, I was dancing with my wife a while back. I said, you know, babe, I'm not really getting this. And Nikki said, Jay, just get loose. Just get loose. But I go, white man can't dance very good. All right, coming with the wrong purpose to church. You need to be coming to church to bless God and worship God. You're not coming for yourself. You're coming for God. Number four, distractions. You're not focused on God. We stand to worship, and you're thinking about the game after the service. You're thinking about going surfing or something else, a movie, and you're not even able to focus on God to give praise. The next is the spiritual temperature taker. This is the person that comes into the church and analyzes everything. Lots of things going on annoy you. You don't like lifted hands. You don't like Chris's song selection. You don't like the electronic instruments. You don't like this art on the wall. Why are they wearing Levi's on the worship team? Everything bugs you. That's one reason that you don't worship too well. Number six is sin. You can't sin all week and praise God well. You can't be angry or bitter or looking at pornography or fighting with your spouse or giving God no time during your week and expect to praise on Sunday. It's impossible. You can fake it, you can fool everybody, but deep down in your heart, you know where you are. Number seven, you underestimate God. That is that you don't really see God, as I said earlier. You underestimate God. If you really knew how awesome God is, praise would flow easily in full revelation. And then number eight, time for a confession. This was me this week. I only had seven down, and the Holy Spirit like hit me on top of the head and put eight down. Life is hard. And I was complaining in my newsletter. I think most of you get my newsletter. I was complaining in the newsletter that my computer blew up, I lost a major credit card, and I can't get my wife's car to pass the smog check no matter what I do. Woe is me. You know, how come God doesn't answer my prayers, you know? And my wife just told me, Jay, people are dying in Houston. People are getting beheaded like in the Middle East. Could you please, like, just get over it? So, so I'm like bumming it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, bumming it Thursday, Friday. Yesterday, I had a little of a breakthrough. I just said, I'm just going to praise God whether I feel like it or not. And like I had a little breakthrough. You can't come into church and praise God when you're bummed. So no bumming. That's got to go. All right. We are now going to look at Psalm 150 one more time now. And instead of me teaching the psalm, I'm going to give you examples of the psalm, and I want to have the worship team, wherever you are, all come up onto the stage. Chris, Mark, Frank, wherever you are, yell out the door for them. Yell out the door. Here they come. There they are. All right. All right, let's look at Psalm 150. It reads, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Who here would like to stand and give praise to God for something he's done in his excellent greatness? Lisa. Shout it out or say it loud. What do you want to give praise for?
I just praise Jesus that he saved me.
Yeah, amen. Who else is not self-conscious and wants to stand and give God praise for something? Yes, sir.
Praise God for all of you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, Jeff.
Praise God because he quickens my mortal body.
Yeah, amen. Megan.
Praise God for my husband who
works so hard. Yeah, Tab, way to go. Anybody else want to praise God? Mr. Kessner.
Praise God for the fullness of his creation. He designed and gave us the capacity.
Amen. Kristen.
I praise God for this life.
Amen. Mike.
I praise God for this church and this congregation.
Amen. Yes, sir. Wait a second.
Glory be to him for the gift
he wanted
to ask.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Don.
I praise God because I don't know the answer.
All right. I need a trumpet back there. All right. The next verse says, praise him with the trumpet sound.
Yes.
I haven't played this since high school.
All right. The next verse says,
praise him with the lute, which is like a mandolin. Yeah. The next verse says, Alexi, praise him with dancing. Says, praise him with stringed instruments. Right, the next two verses are the same instrument. Praise him with the cymbals. And praise him with clashing cymbals. One more time. All right. This isn't like a normal church service, everybody. Like I'm trying to practice what I preach on this one. Finally, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And that includes children. I'm going to ask some children to come up here and give a little song of praise. We have Jordan, Lila, and Genevieve.
Turn.
So, we're going to leave this place after communion. And I want to encourage you to put into practice what I've said. I want to challenge you each and every morning to rise up and say, Lord, I give you praise. I give you praise no matter what the circumstances are. I give you praise no matter what's happening. I give you praise for this day, all of this day. I give you praise. Do that every single day. I mean, come in here next Sunday. Let's amp it up a little bit. Let's give God a little more of our soul, a little more of our heart, like if you were at one of those concerts. That'd be pretty cool, I think. Don't feel like someone's going to be looking at you. They aren't going to be looking at you. They were all looking at God.